This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Breakfast Table Scraps.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. This is where we are. The economic news has gotten so bad that even a scrap of something positive is a reason to rejoice. The government says GDP contracted at a rate of about 4% last quarter. That is serious economic shrinking. It was only 0.5% in the third quarter, and many quarters before that, the economy was growing. But, not to sound cliche, things could have been worse. Here's Marketplace's Steve Henn.
In the last 3 months of 2008, the American economy put in its worst performance in more than 25 years. The gross domestic product fell dramatically, but not quite as much as the 5% many analysts were betting on.
Down 3.8%, and that's better than expected. That's just astounding and highlights the severity of the situation we're in.
Mark Zandi's at moodyseconomy.com. He says the biggest reason the economy didn't shrink even faster is that business inventories have been growing. And in this economy, that's a red flag.
All we did was shift the pain.
Here's how that shift works. Consumer goods aren't selling, so they're piling up on store shelves and car lots and warehouses. That means many businesses will have to cut production and lay off more workers. So Zandi says we haven't hit bottom yet. Employers laid off more than 2.5 million Americans last year, and economists expect the unemployment rate to continue to climb. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
So far, stocks are up just a bit. The Dow has gained 12 points to 8161. The NASDAQ is up 10. The S&P 500 has gained 2. Today in Asia, the Nikkei fell about 3%, mirroring Wall Street's big losses yesterday. European shares are a fraction higher so far. The House version of the stimulus package was approved without a single Republican vote. But in the Senate, a compromise could be in the works. Next week's debate will probably focus on business. More from our senior business correspondent, Bob Moon.
At the American Enterprise Institute, tax and budget policy scholar Alan Viard says on balance, the plan could use more business incentives. But he says the size of the package troubles him more. It's now approaching $900 billion.
My main concern really is scaling back the appropriated spending part of the bill more than it is with increasing any part of it. But I think that there probably is room for a little bit more on the business side.
On the other hand, Viard says some of the tax breaks for businesses already included would be beneficial. And at the Brookings Institution, senior fellow Stephen Hess says this is one debate where businesses are bound to walk away with something they like one way or another.
It's hard to talk about business interests losing out because there are business interests on every side of every issue.
Among the proposals already included in the Senate version is a provision allowing companies to defer taxes this year and next that would otherwise be owed for restructuring or retiring debt. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Since I'm originally from Buffalo, New York, I wanted you to know this. There will be enough chicken wings for the Super Bowl. The National Chicken Council has responded to reports that there's a major shortage. No, supposedly 1 billion wings will be scarfed this weekend. No wonder we're running out. But seriously, mine are the best. Ask anybody. This is the Morning Report for Friday, January 30th on Marketplace.org. Today, Japan said industrial output fell by almost 10% last month. That's the biggest decline in a half century. This morning, reports are that Toyota will face its first operating loss ever. And rival carmaker Honda is shutting down its main British factory for 4 months.
From London, Stephen Beard has more.
More than 4,000 Honda workers in Britain will be laid off until June. They'll get full pay for the first 2 months, then 60% until the factory reopens. The company says no one will be fired. It remains committed to retaining the workforce. But the planned shutdown is the longest in Britain's recent industrial history. Auto analyst David Bailey says it's a serious psychological blow.
Honda is one of the most efficient producers in the UK and one of the most flexible. The fact they're having to close for 4 months is unprecedented and shows the seriousness of the situation.
When work resumes, the factory will make half the number of vehicles it made last year. Honda's sales collapsed at the end of 2008. In the last quarter, the company's profits fell by 90%. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Procter & Gamble says their profits jumped by about 50% from the quarter before, but sales were down slightly. The CEO warned that while it has a lot of retail brands, it's not a company that's recession-proof, more like recession-resistant. So the question is, does that mean frugal customers could derail P&G's dominance? From North Carolina Public Radio, here's Marketplace's Janet Babin.
It's hard to avoid Procter & Gamble products, even if you try. The company makes everything from Oil of Olay to Tide laundry detergent. It can count 23 brands with revenues over $1 billion. Being diversified and global helps the company weather recessions, but some P&G brands are losing out to cheaper generics. Analyst Lauren DeSanto with Morningstar says P&G's beauty products, like Pantene and Olay, are failing the frugal consumer test.
What constitutes the must-haves? What is discretionary and what is not?
But even if a product passes that test, P&G's being hurt by what people have in their pantry. Broke consumers are shopping their closets first and buying only at the last minute. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
The World Bank has chosen 8 developing countries to take part in the first large-scale climate adaptation program. And how it plays out could be pivotal in reaching a new global climate deal. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sam Eaton reports.
The concept is simple. Funnel money from the wealthiest greenhouse gas emitters, including the U.S., to the countries that suffer the biggest consequences from their emissions. Nations ranging from Bangladesh to Bolivia will receive $500 million to help them adapt to global warming. The World Bank's Environment Department Director Warren Evans says the goal isn't to fund individual projects, but rather to rethink entire development schemes.
For example, in water resources, are they building the right things? Are these going to be financially and economically and socially viable under future climate scenarios?
Other examples include boosting food security with drought-tolerant crops or restoring mangrove forests to protect coastal communities from storms. Evan says the $500 million is a drop in the bucket compared to what's needed. But if the program is successful, it could serve as a template for the next global climate treaty and potentially generate tens of billions of dollars a year to help poor countries adapt. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Think you can build an eco-friendly house in a big city for $100,000? One real estate developer in Philadelphia is betting that you can. But the toughest part may be selling the house when it's finished. Joel Rose has the story.
Philadelphia's 100K house is supposed to prove that green design isn't just a luxury item. For now, the 1,000-square-foot house looks more like a two-story box with windows in funny places. Developer Chad Ludeman says it's a little behind schedule, but right on budget.
We're under the $100,000 target, which puts us, I think, around $95 per square foot so far.
We're going to do a washer-dryer all-in-one. It's an LG, which takes up less energy and less space.
Ludeman's wife, Courtney, is a realtor. She says the point is to build a house that's both cheaper and more energy efficient than other new homes.
So we have a product that, we can sell to a market that usually cannot afford a new construction home, much less a LEED Platinum home.
That's developer talk for the highest rating in terms of sustainability. Originally, the plan was to sell this house and a more expensive one they're building next door. But that was before the bottom fell out of the housing market. The Ludemans decided to move into the house themselves, although Courtney says the soft market wasn't the only reason.
We decided to keep it as a model, since it is a case study, be able to show it to people.
The Ludemans have been trying to sell the second house with the fancier finishes and the corner lot since October. As of now, they do have an offer of sale, and they found a buyer for another house they haven't even built yet. Chad Ludeman says that's great, but they'll need to build a lot more of these houses to make the business work, and loans are still tough to come by.
It was definitely more difficult than we thought it would be, especially with the pre-sale, than us having now a track record with being able to build this and pull it off under budget.
But while the recession has made financing these houses more difficult, it might make them easier to sell. Realtor Courtney Ludeman says that's in part because they'll save you up to 50% on your energy bills.
People are starting to care about all that stuff that they didn't care about before. And so it's made it a lot more appealing.
The Ludemans hope to move into their new house by March. And undaunted, they're also planning to break ground on two more. In Philadelphia, I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
Time for another edition of My Morning Commute, when we hear stories of people getting to work.
Let's see how the roads are rolling with Time Saver Traffic. Here.
Go around me!
Did you pull over? Let me drive!
Today, no honking horns or people screaming. Instead, lovely melodies from Ireland.
Hi, I'm Angus McCann, and this is my commute. I live about 11 kilometres from Dublin city centre. And I drive into Busk on the streets. I have my amp and my guitar and my mic stand and my mic and my dog, Coco.
I have travelled many months.
I usually come in late afternoon. So I park my car and I walk down to the top of Grafton Street. I tie Coco's lead onto my belt, tie my belt up, and then I have my guitar and a bag in one arm, and I have a big bag with my TA and everything else in it on my other side. So I look like a homeless Joe going around with all the bags.
Sorry.
I suppose just getting the spot it can be difficult because it's quite competitive, you know. But we sort of work it out amongst ourselves. If someone's there already, we'll say, right, well, I'll be an hour. Give me 1 hour. The place, it's a crossroads, so you've got people coming from every direction, which is... financially, it's going to be better, you know.
Come on, Coco. Coco.
Coco's a rescue dog. He's a chocolate Labrador. Yeah, he sits in the guitar case, so he curls up in the guitar case and looks nice for people walking by.
That our children might forsake the pride we lost.
And we're at work.
And the fools as they pass by stop to see an old man cry. And forget the old Dublin through my tears.
My Morning Commute was produced by Don Duncan and Jennifer Collins. Finally, a personal note. Today is my last day hosting the Morning Report. But I won't be going far. I'll be taking on a new role at Marketplace as the lead blogger for our website, and I'll be hosting our weekly podcast, After the Bell. In both roles, I'll be sharing perspectives on the economy and interacting with listeners. It should be fun. I'm looking forward to it and to working when the sun is out. I've thoroughly enjoyed the last 3.5 years, and I hope you'll join me in the online world at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you soon.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like...
What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.